Good morning. Update for my wife. She is doing well. She's in a little bit of pain from recovery. She had her gallbladder out on Wednesday, but she is doing well. So thank you for your prayers. Appreciate that a lot. It means more than I think most of us realize. On the way, we had to go out of town to do it, and on the way home, that morning that we were to fly back home, she was not feeling well at all, at all. I offered to reschedule our trip home, you know, postpone it a day. We prayed, and God is faithful. She was like, I mean, she felt perfect. I mean, it was like just, it was mind-blowing is what it was, though it shouldn't be because we know who our God is, but every time it's like, whoa, you know, but this time it was like she was able to travel and was perfectly fine to the point where she got home and she started feeling not the best. It's pretty funny. I don't know how to explain all that, but it's like, seriously, she got home and she was like, oh, I need to lay down, but the whole trip, the whole time we traveled, she was just amazing. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So this morning, I would like to share on just the battle that we have between our spirit and our flesh. And we'll see where God goes with it, you know. I have an idea, a couple scriptures I want to share, but, and no name, unfortunately, Jesse, but maybe by next Sunday we'll have that covered. He is, I know. I don't know what to name it. I go up to you guys afterwards, okay, what's the name of it? But that's what I want to speak on this morning, so I'd like to start with a prayer, and just, God, I just invite you, Holy Spirit, just to lead us through this next few moments, God. And we know that your word, Lord, is perfect, that it is the truth, that it is the only truth, that it is what we're to base everything on. Our entire life is to be based upon your word, God. And so I just know that this morning it's your truth that will prevail. God, aside from my own thoughts and feelings and whatnot, Lord, that I just invite you to speak, to guide, to open hearts, to open my heart, Daddy. Allow me to have an open heart to receive exactly what it is that you have purposed for me this day. And that may be different from what you will speak to others here this morning, God. But let each one of us receive, God, as you have appointed for us to do so, Father. Holy Spirit, this is your show, and we love you, and we need you. We can't go a moment without you. So thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for this day. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, and thank you for your guidance. And I say all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. So I am going to share on, I guess we can start in Galatians. That'd be a good point. Galatians 5, verse 17. Again, this is one of the first scriptures that I memorized as a young Christian. And I'm going to read it in two translations, 5:16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. It goes on to say, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then it explains the works of the flesh. Now I want to read that in the New Living Translation here. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Verse 16 again. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit, capital S, gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So we know that the flesh is quite interesting because it's the very thing that we're to use to get closer to God, but yet at the same time, it's a magnet to fleshly, worldly things. It's our very vessel to entertain God's presence. If it has its way and its choice, will deny God's presence. It's very interesting. And we know that it's a magnet to the things of this world, the things that are, quite honestly and very simply put, not appealing to God. Our flesh is, though it is useful, we all know that it is what we need to use to get closer to God, but at the same time, if we allow it to have its way, it will pull us away from God. Do you guys understand that? Do you agree? Okay. So, in our spirit, is given to us by God the Father, is eternal. And it's a magnet for the eternal things. So it attracts the things of eternal value. And the scripture says that these things fight each other. So in Romans, Paul speaks about, I do the things I don't want to do, and I do what I don't, and I don't what I do, and on and on. And just consists of this battle that goes on within us. Am I alone this morning? Or are there others out there that can say, yes, I understand what you're talking about. I have that battle. Like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? You know, or no, I praise you, Jesus. I can't do that. Oh, forgive me, Lord. I mean, come on. Can I just, yes, we're all human here. Okay. Because this is very, you know, simple, you know, basic doctrine, if you will. And it's a battle that everybody experiences. And so, if we go to Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 12, it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It says that our war here, thank you, sir. I can't say that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Everybody familiar with this scripture? If you're not, that's okay. I'll read it. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So, though we're in this body, and this body is our vessel to draw nearer to God, we're not to, I got to be careful here. We're not to invest too deeply into this body. I'm not saying let your health go. I'm not saying that. We're not to invest too deeply into the flesh. And when I speak of flesh, I speak of the things of this world that essentially do us no good. Okay? I don't talk about working out because, you know, we all, whatever. I talk about the things that are of no eternal benefit to us. That is the flesh. So, it says that our battle is not flesh and blood. So if I'm at home arguing with my wife or disappointed because my boss or this or that, that's not my battle. I don't need to pick that up and run with that, right? That's not where I'm at. But a lot of times we allow ourselves to get sucked into that, right? We do. The reports of the health, the this and the that, and but she and I, and I'm probably going to sound a lot like Mueller, to be quite honest with you, so if you know what I'm talking about, forgive me, but that's just where it is. So, but we fall into that, and we put everything into that battle as opposed to the battle of our spirit, of battling against Satan and knowing that we already have won this battle and just riding it out, if you will. But a lot of times we invest into the temporary as a distraction. I think it's that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that you're never going to get, but you're always going to look for. And I just know that for me, as a son of God, that's not what I'm wasting my time. trying to chase that pot of gold. So I need to be understand that the battle's already won, and that Jesus Christ and God the Father, Daddy, that's my pot of gold. And I need to understand that I need to ground myself in Him and understand that, like, that He, okay, so in John 16 it says, I've told you, this is Jesus, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. We talked about that earlier. We sung it and whatnot. You'll have many trials and sorrows, and that's a guarantee. But take heart, because why? Because I have overcome the world. Why have overcome the flesh? Because I already have won this battle. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Because it, we just go and we see and we look with our eyes of flesh and we say, no way. And we get beat up and we get disappointed. And the one thing that the Lord spoke to me over the last week and a half is literally to put everything I have in Him. And I'm going to do that in my private time. I'm going to do it all day. I want to commune with Him all day. I don't want it to be, and I'm not against this, but my old habit was, and this is my life I'm speaking of, you can take from it what you like, but for my life, I'm not, like, I don't just want to get up in the morning and spend time with Him and that's it, or before I go to bed. That's good. I want that. But in addition to that, I want to live my life and I won't drive down the road. I have a habit now. I want to turn that radio off. I want to turn it off, and I just want to say, thank you, Lord. I want to talk to Him. I just want to, just like I would with my good friend here, we would talk. We would just hang out, and that's my heart, is to commune with Him constantly, because He's already won the battle. He's already overcome the enemy. But the enemy's going to lie to you. He's going to tell you, you're no good. You're depressed. Remember what happened when you were 10 years old? Remember what you did the other day? You know, he's going to put obstacles and challenges in front of you. Maybe you're going to lose a job. All these things, they're going to happen. It's plain as day in the Bible. You can read, you can understand that things are going to happen. But you can also understand that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. That we don't have to live by that. So what are we investing in? What do you invest in? Here's what you do. Think back on the last week. And if your memory's like mine, pay attention to the week to come. Follow your time. What do you invest? What are you investing in? The Spirit who gives life and the flesh profits nothing. And Jesus said the words that He speaks are spirit and they are life. How are we to worship our Father? With spirit and truth. So what are we investing in? Because as I watch this Power and Love conference and the teachings that they have there, is for us to understand who we are in God. We have to understand. We have to know that the price that was paid for us to be here today was, number one, priceless. Number two, eternal. So Jesus Christ, He gets on that cross and He gives up His life. No greater love. Isn't that what the scripture says? No greater love. No greater love than if a man were to lay down his life, a friend were to lay down his life. We have to understand, what are we doing here? Because I'm, like you shared yesterday morning, I'm in a soul-searching, I guess, type of a mode, and I've been there. And I don't want to play church. I love coming together on Sundays. You do not know what that does for me. It encourages me. What I want to gravitate away from is that being my big boost of the week. Although it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be bad, but it is not my big boost of the week. Every day I have to live for the Lord. Every day I have to share. I have to talk. I have to listen. I have to know. Every day I can't base it upon how I feel or what I think, because why? Because I'll be deceived that way. Every day I have to take that word of God. And I've got to speak it over my life. Have I been successful at this? I'll be honest. There's a lot of times when I haven't. But it's a new day. And I'm not up here to preach all this. I'm sharing my heart is what I'm doing. When those trials come, I've got to say, God, who am I to call him a liar, right? Okay, if he paid the price with his son, Jesus Christ, and the blood, and that's just not a cliche or a bunch of words, that really happened. And the last thing you want to do is get done with this earth and find out that, you know, that's true and that you didn't take it seriously. Dan Moeller, he shares a part that he says, you know, I don't pray a prayer to go to heaven. I pray a prayer to be in relationship with my Father. And that is being led by the Spirit. So, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And they work against one another. But if we're to worship the Lord, we're to worship him in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. In Mark it says, what do we profit if we gain the whole world but we lose our soul? What do we get? We get nothing. That what he's saying, don't invest, don't put all everything you have into this world. Into the flesh, into the works of the flesh. It will benefit you nothing. And how do we do this? See, the ongoing battle is understanding who we are. It really is. And that's where I'm at right now. It's understanding who I am. Understanding who my Father is, and what he says about me. Because what he says about me is what matters. And I have to know what he says about me. And I have to believe it. And I have to live it. Even when it doesn't seem, even when everything around me says the opposite, right? Just like the scripture just said. Everything around me says the opposite. But I have to live it. I've got to speak it. I've got to believe it. It has to become who I am. I have to allow the Word of God. Lately, I've just been doing what I've been learning. I've just been saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not that person. I thank you that that no longer is who I am, that you paid a great price for me, that I'm your son and that you love me, that I don't have to walk the way I used to walk. Even yesterday, I don't have to walk that way. That today I will walk today, and I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what you have to say, and I don't want to make decisions on my own. I want to know you. So I just thank you. You love me. I mean, obviously he paid the price. He loves us. But everything around us says no. He doesn't. The way the world operates says no. He don't love you. You're not worth anything. Anybody ever felt that way? Okay, I'll put my hand up. About a billion times in this lifetime, that I'm not worth anything? Lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Satan wants us to pull away from the things of God. Satan wants us to buy in to this world And he knows that, see, our flesh is a ticking time bomb. And the Spirit of God is what gives us life, is the antidote. The Spirit of God is what brings us to life and allows us, it gives us that drive, that higher purpose. Because without the Spirit of God, what happens is we start reaching and looking and we start making decisions that lead to death, right? Isn't that what Scripture says? We start making decisions that we think they look great, but without consulting our Father who has the whole layout in front of him, that we start going into these traps. We start leading ourselves to death. Are you guys here with me this morning?
Yes.
All right, we're here. Okay, everybody just go like this. Or this. What's that? See, without the Spirit, our inner drive, it pushes us down the path of self-destruction. And like I was saying, we look for the things to fill in the void and the gaps, and they don't work. And how long before, I mean, we can do this as a Christian, okay? This is not exclusive to the non-believer. I got to tell you that. We can live a life and feel great, but without a relationship with the one who created us, and then we're just kind of going down the path. Anybody here seen the movie Father of Lights? How'd you see? Anybody? Okay. When can we show that?
Yeah.
November. Okay. What are we in? September? Oh, boy. It's a while. Well, there's a gentleman on there. I probably shared this last time. His name is Ravi, and God wakes him up every morning at 4 a.m., I believe, and basically gives him his marching orders for the day. And this guy, he'll go into remote villages and towns and whatnot and start preaching the gospel, and people will come with machetes and give their life to the Lord. It's pretty wild. But, you know, and I'm not Ravi, and I don't want to be Ravi. Although that does appeal to me. I would love to be, what's the proper word? No, when you wake up in the morning. I'd love to be woke up by God in the morning and say, here you go, son. I would love that. Visitation. I mean, I would just love that. I'd just every day, like, wow. And it's been like, I don't know, 17 years or something. But... See, I don't know what my point was, but other than we need to pursue God. I mean, we have to pursue God. We have to have, and you've got to start somewhere. And it's not a public display where, well, there's nothing wrong with public gatherings and worshiping and praying, and that's great because God, I believe, he loves that as well. But can you intimately get to know God in a public place every time? We have to know him on our own. I can't rely on a public gathering every week to get me closer to God. It won't work. That's like expecting the Sunday school to raise my children into the things of God. That's foolishness. We have to know him. I guess if anything, that's what's being said, is that we have to know him. We have to begin to live out the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. We have to live out love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, etc., etc. We have to live those out. But when it's about us, we're not living those out. We'll live those out as long as it's about us, right? I mean, we will. You'll live those. You'll live that. It's great. I love you, and all of a sudden somebody says something, and boom, you're like, what? And your whole day is shot. Yeah, has it ever happened to anybody? Your whole day's been shot because of maybe something somebody said? or the way they treated you, or maybe an expectation that you had, and you didn't, they didn't fulfill that expectation, so all of a sudden your day is gone. I mean, I'm not here to condemn you. That's not my job, but you're not living in the Spirit when that happens. Does that mean it can't happen after that? Or no, not at all. But we're to live by the Spirit of God. We're to put those things on. And again, that comes in a personal, private time with God every day. Shawn the sheep. So, I'm going to take a drink. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those are eternal. The scripture says that love never fails. Why does it never fail? Because it's eternal. Love is something that we can grab a hold of here in our fleshly bodies. We can live it out and I believe then allow heaven to just live within us. Love is a way that you can have contact with heaven every single day. But it's not the love that depends on other people. It's the love that relies on God. So the love that depends on other people, it goes, and it goes fast. The love that relies on God, it's here to stay. It never fails, right? The scripture says it never fails. The song says, love never fails, never gives up, never, you know what I mean? I don't, but that's good. That's two of us. But in Galatians, in verse 6 as well, it says that he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We need to sow into the Spirit. We need to sow into the eternal things of God. We need to be the walking temple of the Holy Spirit, which we are. We need to be it, which we are. Do you want a microphone? Like, you're itching. We are. But it's possible, as I was saying earlier, it's possible as a Christian, you can live the Christian life and you can do good and all that and never really get close to God. And that's not what we want. I've been there and I've done that, and I don't want that. Like, I just want to know God. I don't care if I, you know, bite it or whatever. I want to know God, and I'm just starting to talk to him, and my encouragement to you guys is I'm just starting to talk to him just like he's right here, right now. He's just here, he's now, I'm driving, he's there. I'm walking, he's there. I'm scared out of my mind, he's there. I'm happy, he's there. Because you can have a nourished flesh but a malnourished spirit and still be malnourished. That is so good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's true. You can tons of people walk around and they can be all good and they can appear that everything is perfectly fine in their lives. Their jobs, you know, their attitudes, everything. But without a relationship with the living God, they're malnourished. There's no way around it. So what is the answer? The answer is an intimate relationship with the Lord. The answer is to, in that battle of the flesh and the spirit, is to allow the Spirit of God to lead you. And when things around you say, it's not happening, the answer is to begin to speak it like it is happening. Because it is, you just don't get to see it with your natural eyes. You have to see it with your eyes of faith. Well, you have to, though, because otherwise, for example, Eliana, correct? That's enough to turn somebody insane. That's enough to make somebody lose their mind. Anybody ever had somebody with an illness in their life? I mean, that can That can cause you to lose it if you're not allowing the Lord to, you know. I mean, it can make you just put all your eggs in that basket and your world's done. That's it. There's no hope. But if you can see and know who your God is, and know then, like, well, if I can see who he's created me to be, I can see who he is in you guys. Right? So I'm not, so the reports, they don't faze me. They don't make me, they might try to, you know, it might rattle me for an instant, you know, and I have to just kind of regroup and, okay, Lord, but your word says, but God, you are good and you created me and I'm not going to believe these lies. I'm a son of God and I know that because you say that. I know that because you sent your son to die for me. I've got to find this, and I'm going to close with this. Somewhere in the Bible. Anybody have a Bible? This is good. This is really good. Okay. Okay, it's in Romans 8, so if you have a Bible and you want to open it up, go ahead. I might end up reading the whole dang chapter. It's only 68 verses. Okay, so I'll just, okay, I'm just going to start and we'll just see what happens. Okay, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, everybody, do you belong to Christ Jesus? Okay, that is you. So there, now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. What was the song we sang earlier? I don't know, something about free. That one? Did we sing that today? Yeah. I'm free. What are you free from? You're free from the power of sin that leads to death. I am free. What are you free from? You're free from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. So he declared an end to that draw. It doesn't mean it's going to disappear, but he says that the power that it has on our lives is over. He said it. Not me. I'm just reading what he said it. The man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Verse 4, he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Okay? Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So there's a hint. There is actually an answer of how do we overcome? How do we use those eyes of faith? Well, it begins in the mind. It begins by meditating on the things from above, on the Word of God. It says right here, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit of God. So we have to think about things that are pleasing to God the Father. So you start hearing the reports, you start seeing with your natural eyes. What do? You begin to think on things that are pleasing to God, and you say them out loud. And you say them, you proclaim them. They're true to you. Maybe the people around you don't realize that, and they might even think you're nuts. That's fine. That's their deal, not yours. But you know it. You know where you stand. So what do? You think, you speak, and until you see it come to life, you continue to do the same thing regardless of everything around you. On the other hand, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit. When he adopted you as his own children, now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. What more do you need? I mean, that's it. That's signed, sealed, and delivered. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Okay, so that's we're going on a whole other trail there. However, we call him Abba Father, Daddy Daddy, Father Father. Ooh, I looked it up and let's see here. Abba Father. One who has infused his own spirit into others, who actuates and governs their minds. That's pretty powerful. So he infused his spirit into ours, and allowing him to be led by the Spirit, to be led by God, he can govern our mind. If we allow him, if we can think on the things that are pleasing to God, he then will govern our minds. That's some good news there. So last thing is this, is we have to speak it. We have to think it. We have to speak it. We have to put the Word of God into our hearts constantly. And one little simple thing that I've been doing lately is I've just been saying, Daddy, Daddy. Just that simple. And I understand who I'm talking to. God understands who I'm talking to. You know, maybe people on the street don't quite get it, but that's on them. But one thing is that, and I shared this yesterday at men's group, is that that does something in me. It really, you know, God is just confirming, he's agreeing within me that he is my daddy and that I am his son. And that he has the final say in what happens in my life. Not the world, but he does. And so I say, Daddy, Daddy. And I literally begin to start choking up. And I don't know that that will always happen. And I'm not saying that it has to happen. But it's just a simple practice. Because at first it was awkward to call him Daddy. I don't know. And it could have to do with maybe the history of my biological father and I. I'm sure it does, actually, whom I love very much. But his spirit's agreeing with my spirit, and I'm just, Daddy, Daddy. And I mean, I'm just this. If I got nothing else to say, I'm saying that. I'm driving. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, Daddy, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, Daddy. Just like a little kid would. Says we have to come to him as little children, doesn't it? Daddy, Daddy. Daddy, Daddy. I love, you know, and we know that worship and praise is the key to victory in our life. Thanksgiving, right? We enter his courts with thanksgiving at heart, enter his gates with praise. Might have done that backwards, but the point is that we're entering into his realm when we're thanking him, even and especially when everything around us is showing us the opposite. We're thanking him, not just because we got a raise or just because we're thanking him when we lose a job. What? Not just when it's great and everything looks good, we're thanking him because then we're basically saying, all right, Daddy, this, I love you and I thank you and it doesn't matter. You, this is your world. You have the say in my life. I'm not going to go crazy because I lost this or they said that or this or that. I'm going to thank him. Thank you, Father. I know you've got a plan for my life. Why don't we pray this together? Let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Daddy. Daddy, teach us to rely on you. Heavenly Father, regardless of what it looks like around us, teach us, Daddy, to commune with you, to agree with you, to speak the life that you've placed within us, to know that regardless of what I feel like or maybe what I think at times, that I still am your child and you still have a great plan and things don't dictate that, but you do. That because of somebody said this or because they did that or I lost this, God, that you're still in charge, God, and you still have a fabulous, awesome plan for my life. Daddy, Daddy. Daddy, we need you right now more than ever. We need you, Daddy. We need you. We need to come to you as children. We need your promises. Because the world will tear us apart limb by limb if we allow it. We need you, Father, Daddy. Abba, Father, we cry out to you this morning. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for never failing us. It says love never fails and you never fail us. And my prayer is this morning, that we, as your children, will rely on you and not the world to fill us. That we will rely on you and every word that proceeds out of your mouth, every life-giving word, that we will rely on you. That we will take the time to hear your voice and not just listen, but to be obedient. To walk by faith instead of looking for evidence, to see it already in our heart, to know who you are, to know who you've created us to be, so we can live healthy lives, healthy Christian lives, helping others, being victorious and successful. Holy Spirit, as we go out, remind us to speak and think on things that are pleasing to you. To guard our heart so that we don't allow things in that push you back. To be diligent in our pursuit after you. I would ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would show us the things that are pleasing to you, that you would show us the things that are not pleasing to you, that we can be made into the image of our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to not make it about us, God. Not make it about us. Make it about you so that we can make it about others. Help us not just to focus on us, but to focus on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Your love. And how can I be weak when you have restored me? And how can I be dry when your rain is falling down? And how can I be lost that you have found me? For great is your love. Yes, great is your love. Great is your love. Yes, great is your love. Yes, great is your love. Yes, great is your love.
About who he is and how we view that. So You know, I think that I think we should all just hug ourselves and say, Daddy, thank you. I know it might be weird to some of you, but Daddy, thank you. Thank you for placing value on my life. Thank you that I don't have to give in to the world's views. Thank you that you love me and that gives me purpose. That makes me valuable. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, just continue to minister to us throughout this week so that we can stand upright before our God. And ladies and gentlemen, I say this, it is about a mindset. You're right, Pastor Gay. It is about a mindset. It is about understanding how he feels about you. It is about knowing that he loves you. It is about allowing your thoughts to be held captive to what is pleasing to Christ Jesus. It is that no matter what's going on, it's about that. It's about saying what God says about you out loud. Because sometimes we just need to hear it. We just need to hear it. We have that default mode and our flesh will just always revert back to it. But we just need to hear that our Daddy, our Father in heaven, he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. You can't take that from me. The scripture says nothing can take that from us. Nothing. Because we need to be healthy, because there's a lot of sick people out there. There's a lot of sick people out there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This week, let's just agree to meditate on the things of God, on the Word, the things that are pleasing to Him, and not to ourselves, but to Him. Let's agree to be mindful of the things, TV shows, music, thoughts, that are not pleasing to Him. Let's agree to say, Holy Spirit, we want those gone. And we're made in His image. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless all of you. Children of God, let's rise up and let's be who He's called us to be.